Bow hunters are some of the hardest working hunters there are. Most of us work hard all year long just to get a couple weekends or burn our vacation time to sit in a tree. And just like the American blue collar worker, we're trying to balance work, family, faith, and a little time for ourselves in the great outdoors. Now let me introduce you to Trollco Clothing, a brand built by blue collar workers for blue collar workers. Workwear, comfortable tees, hoodies and hats for both men and women, Trollco represents the hardworking American. So whether you're operating heavy equipment, wrenching on engines, or in a factory living that shift life, Trollco has your back, literally. Head to trollco.com/hunting. That's trollco.com/hunting and enter the discount code Empire25 for 25% off of your first order. Trollco, for the hardworking American. This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands for the super athletic stuff, like running gear for cruising up the trail. Woo! And the super athlete-ish stuff, like fishing gear for chilling by the creek. Nice cast. Fitness apparel to push for higher reps. You got this. And golf balls priced so you can afford to lose one. Or a few. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
This episode of the Sportsman's Nation is brought to you by Outdoor Edge and their complete lineup of replaceable blade knives, fixed blade knives, and game processing kits. Now, we've all been there before, trying to field dress your wild game with a dull knife. This is where Outdoor Edge really steps in. With the Razor Safe system, you can have a brand new razor sharp blade with just the push of a button. No more dull blades and no more problems processing your wild game. To check out all of the products from Outdoor Edge, visit OutdoorEdge.com. And at checkout, enter the discount code NATION30, that's NATION30, for 30% off of your purchase.
You're listening to the Average Conservationist podcast, brought to you in partner with 2% for Conservation. 2% for Conservation's mission is to create an alliance of businesses and individuals that ensure the future of hunting and angling by committing their time and dollars to fish and wildlife. 1% of your time plus 1% of your money equals 2% for conservation. 2% helps businesses and people pair with conservation causes to support things that fit what they care about. Whether you're into fishing, hunting, or just getting outdoors, 2% can help you not only start giving back to wildlife, but get certified for it. Getting 2% certified means you've made the same commitment as popular brands like Sitka, Stone Glacier, and Seek Outside in giving at least 1% of your time and dollars back to wildlife. But it's not just for outdoor companies. Breweries, contractors, coffee roasters, and even piano repair companies have earned 2% certification and stand out as leaders in their community for doing so. Businesses that are committed to conservation deserve your business when you shop. Learn more about 2% for Conservation at fishandwildlife.org. That's fishandwildlife.org. Happy Thursday, everybody. I hope everyone is having a great day and their week is going well. For those listening, we're going forward, we're going to be dropping our episodes on Wednesday. So just a heads up, if you're used to our Thursday drops, the episodes going forward, we're going to push them up to Wednesday. So just a heads up there. But welcome back to the Average Conservationist Podcast, and I'm your host, Marcus Ewing. Today on the podcast, I am joined by Brandon Romanski, and Brandon is the owner and founder of 2% Certified U Outdoors. And U Outdoors is an online shop that carries lots of different gear for essentially the whitetail hunter. Brandon and I, we really get to kind of talk about, you know, the origin story that is U Outdoors, how what started off in Wisconsin, selling some blinds from the farm that he worked at, to really wanting to kind of go all in, not wanting to continue with the farming that he had been doing and that he had grown up doing. So moved to Iowa and really took on U Outdoors full time. And one of the coolest things that I really like about, you know, the different products and things that Brandon is carrying is he carries them only if he feels like that particular product is going to help you be successful in the outdoors. And really that's where Brandon gets a lot of his joy and his love, is seeing and helping other people be successful in their outdoor pursuits. From there, we also get to talk about, you know, obviously the conservation side of things, but we get to kind of take a dive into conservation from a bit more of a farming and agricultural side of things, which is something that I haven't really had a chance to touch on. So to hear Brandon's thoughts on conservation, you know, not only from just, you know, a hunter and an angler, but from a farmer as well, was certainly interesting. And it certainly is something that kind of that makes you think and, you know, just gives you a bit of a different perspective and a different view on things. So that was certainly an enjoyable part of the conversation. So episode 86, Brandon Romanski. Before that, I'm going to tell you about my friends over at Wild Rivers Coffee. And Wild Rivers Coffee, they are roasting in small batches so that they can ensure that their coffee arrives at its peak freshness. I can attest to this because I've ordered coffee from them before. They shot me an email the same day, said, "Hey, we're a few days out on getting some beans roasted. Are you okay with letting us, with that shipping in a few days from now?" I said, "Absolutely. That's perfect." It's that type of thing that, like they guarantee that their coffee is going to arrive at its peak freshness, which means it's going to taste the best. Wild Rivers Coffee is also a proud partner with 2% for Conservation, and they believe in preserving the wild places and wild things that bring all of us so much joy. That's why, with everything that they sell, a portion of the proceeds are being donated back to conservation organizations that are near and dear to them. So you're going to get organizations like Trout Unlimited, Backcountry Hunters and Anglers, Ducks Unlimited, and Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation. So head over to wildriverscoffeeco.com, get your fresh roasted beans, a ton of sweet merchandise, handmade mugs, ton of accessories for grinding your beans, doing your own pour over, all that good stuff. And if you sign up and subscribe, you're going to save 10%. Or if you just want to order a mug, or you just want to try a single bag of coffee, or pick up a cool t-shirt or a hat, use the code, and this is all caps, FISH_wildlife, and you're going to save 10% off your order as well. So again, head over to wildriverscoffeeco.com. All right, on the line with me today, I have the owner and founder of 2% Certified U Outdoors, Brandon Romanski. Brandon, how are you today, man?
Doing good. A little chilly out today here in Iowa, but staying warm.
We're both in the Midwest here. You're a little further west. I'm in Michigan here. But like you said, it's cold today. Like what kind of temperatures are you working with out there?
Oh, it's got to be around zero.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
That's pretty chilly.
I mean, 1 degree for a high.
Yeah. We're probably like mid-teens here. And you know, I don't mind the cold. I mean, I grew up in the Midwest here. It doesn't bother me. But if I'm gonna get these, you know, single digit and teens weather, like, give me some snow, right? Like, I'm looking out my office window right now, and I mean, there's more grass than, you know, there's more grass showing than there is snow on the ground. It's like we're, you know, mid to late January in the Midwest where, you know, we should have a ton of snow. And I don't have much. And the cold is just, I don't like cold without snow and something to do it in. And it's not even like good snow, right? It's like frozen and piled up from where we got, you know, 4 or 5 inches last time it snowed. And it's just all frozen in one spot. And it's just, you can't do anything with this.
Right. I think we've got probably, I don't know, about 6 inches on the ground here, in northeast Iowa. But I mean, I'm no stranger to cold either. I live in northeast Iowa now, but I grew up in northern Wisconsin, so we definitely had it even colder and more snow. And I get with you on that too. If it's just cold and there's no snow, it just kind of sucks, to be honest.
Yeah, just I don't
Can't.
know, like, you know, growing up here in Michigan, I mean, I live in southeast Michigan now, but I grew up in like northern lower Michigan, and I can never remember you know, winters without, you know, hardly any snow. I mean, it's just, what are you gonna do, right?
Right. It's nice to a degree, but yeah, you like to feel a little bit, make it feel like winter, not just like
Not
they're
just
just fairly
cold.
cold out.
Yeah. Well, hey man, I know we put this together on pretty short order, so I appreciate you making some time. I know you probably got a lot going on there, but I'm really excited because obviously you outdoors, you guys offer you know, a lot of different products, and I'll have you get into that here in a minute. But anytime I get a chance to kind of talk gear with people, it always excites me. It's always fun. It's always interesting. So yeah. Take me into you outdoors, man. Tell me about it.
Yeah, so I guess it just, it started about 4 years ago now. I think 2018 is when I decided to start in business. And at the time, while I was still living in northern Wisconsin, was actually dairy farming. That's what I did my entire life, and family farm up there. So I just started running out of our shop there on the farm. And I started selling hunting blinds, stuff like that. And just trying to think back, but I think I just did it because I've always loved hunting, right? I've always loved being outdoors and deer hunting in particular. So picked up some blinds, started selling them, sold quite a few out of the shop, started going to some shows, and just slowly started picking up other products. And then, from that point, started starting a website, started moving things online. Versus in person. And then in 2020, basically January 2020, about 2 years now, we moved myself and my wife and daughter at the time. We got two kids now, but moved to Iowa and left the farm. And it was a tough decision because it was a family farm and all that stuff. And I love farming, being outdoors, and what, everything that entails too. But I just didn't have enough, very much time to really hunt or fish. It was always, I was just working all the time. And just looking into it, agriculture, dairying, any kind of farming, it's a tough deal to make money in. It's just a tough business to be in. And after evaluating it for years, I just said, you know what? I don't know if I'm going to take this over. I think I'm going to try something else. I think I'm going to go full time in my own business. So U Outdoors kind of went from a side thing to full time in 2020 when I moved to Iowa. And the biggest reason I moved to Iowa really was for deer hunting.
Well, sure. Yeah, I was gonna say
I mean.
you move if you're you know, Wisconsin's already, you know, has a very rich tradition, obviously, in the outdoors and whitetail hunting specifically. But yeah, if you really want to dive into the deep end with whitetail hunting, I mean, Iowa's the place to be, right? It's, you know, a lot of people consider it the mecca of whitetail hunting.
Right. Frankly, I'd never been to Iowa before I moved here. So I just said, you know, everybody talked Iowa, and you see all the pictures and these big deer. And it's like, man, if I'm going to leave the farm and I got to do something different, right, I could stay in the area and do the same thing. But it's like the deer hunting just wasn't, you know, good tradition and stuff, but the caliber of the deer just was nothing to knock your socks off. There's a lot of hunters in Wisconsin. Just, I mean, you know that in Michigan too. It's just it's hard to get real big deer all over, and there's certain pockets where you do, but for the most part, it's just not, this wasn't in the area I was in. So yeah, you know, I said if I'm gonna quit doing that, I'm gonna put my focus more so on hunting, more so on fishing and the outdoors and doing those things that I couldn't do or didn't have the time to do when I was farming. I mean, yeah, I thought of everybody else. I'm like, man, if I was you, I'd move to Iowa, because they always talk about deer hunting, but yet they're working their job. And I'm like, all right, if I'm leaving, I'm going, that's where I'm going. And sight unseen, moved down there. And actually, a funny thing is I moved down to a town called Swisher, which is right between Cedar Rapids and Iowa City. And I actually listened to a few different podcasts, but I think I'm Wired to Hunt. I think, you know, Dan Johnson, right? He did the whole.
Well, yeah, it's funny. Well, I hate to like cut you off there, but one, the Average Conservationist podcast airs on Sportsman's Nation on Dan's network. But when you were talking about, you know, moving to Iowa, I was going to interject and say, I wonder how many people have moved to Iowa because of Dan Johnson, and, you know, just following along with, you know, Nine Finger Chronicles, and, you know, just Dan's just a wealth of knowledge when it comes to whitetail hunting. And obviously he busts his ass, and he's, you know, he's been very successful, especially in recent years, with putting some absolute bruisers on the ground.
Yeah. And I'd heard him talking, like, I just kind of, he brings a different style to like the podcast, right? When he was doing that with Mark and Wired to Hunt, he's, you know, kind of a goofy guy, right? But I didn't, you know, I just like, oh, it's cool. He lives in Iowa. And so when I moved to Iowa, I just kind of picked this place for a different reason. I was going to do some real estate stuff. So I thought, well, get closer to some bigger cities. So that's why I moved there, that particular spot. But, I mean, we weren't there a few months and COVID hit and everything was going nuts. So I kind of said, no, I'm going to do you outdoors full time instead of trying to mess with this other type of business. But, you know, funny enough, I was like, well, you know, Dan lives in Iowa. So I'm like, looked him up, and I don't remember where I found out where he lived, but I was like, we live in the same town. I literally moved to the same town. I'm like, I live a few miles from you. Just out of coincidence. So I thought that was kind of cool. And, but then, you know, 2021, I moved up to Northeast Iowa here, just be a little closer to home, and still have the great deer hunting in the state and all that stuff. But, you know, as far as the business, I mean, it's changed over, you know, the years from doing it on the side, just kind of making extra bucks and a few extra dollars while on the farm, to full time, and really got me thinking deeper about why I do it. And I guess the biggest thing was just I want to help people, hunters and stuff. I want to help them be more successful, you know, whether that be, you know, obviously we sell gear, that's kind of the physical thing, and you know, content and stuff, just helping people be more successful in any way I can. And everybody's got different goals too. So, you know, some guys are looking to shoot giant bucks every year, you know, record book deer. And other guys just want to go deer hunting, you know, just take their kids out and have fun,
right,
and enjoy things. So everybody's got a different goal. And that's the big thing I've learned too with this business, is unexpectedly, you know, I didn't really, you know, you go in there, you try to make money and you're in business, but I didn't really expect to meet all the great people I've met, all the great, you know, just customers who called me, asked questions. And pretty soon we get, you know, about cameras and different gear, and we get talking about hunting, and there are different places around the country. And how they do it and what they're seeing. It's really cool. It's been really rewarding for me just to be able to talk to these people and really get to know them. I've got to know a lot of people across the country, and it's just something I didn't expect starting the business. There's a lot of great people that I met.
Yeah, that personal connection that I think separates, you know, small businesses from a lot of these like big box stores where you can buy some products too, is, you know, you can call and actually talk with someone who, you know, is knowledgeable about the products that they're offering, is likely a hunter or an angler. There's some type of outdoor recreationist. So they're using these products, you know, they have firsthand experience, which, you know, right, wrong, or indifferent. If you go to like a Bass Pro or a Cabela's or something like that, I mean, yeah, you may certainly have people in departments that really know the gear that they're selling, but you also may just have, you know, an 18-year-old kid who just needs a job, right? Because his parents made him get a job or something like that, that doesn't really give a rip about the products that they're selling. He can just say, oh yeah, they're over here. He doesn't have any information or any knowledge on the product. And what I found, and, you know, being a consumer like everyone else, is, you know, I'd much rather talk to someone, have them, you know, be able to answer my questions, you know, over the phone, and give me their experience with the product, because I'm much more apt to make a buying decision when I, you know, I can talk to someone who has that firsthand experience, you know, what they liked, what they disliked, you know, maybe they point me into the direction of, you know, a different camera or a different blind or something like that, because of, you know, they know exactly what it is that I'm looking for, or, you know, kind of just my entire setup when it comes to hunting. Because, you know, this, you know, a good, you know, salesperson or sales rep is going to, you know, ask, you know, these questions, you know, how are you going to use it? You know, what type of setup do you have to best be able to point you and make the correct recommendation for, you know, what they think you're looking for?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I was going to mention that too. It's like the questions, right? You got to ask great questions and figure out what, you know, what are you actually trying to accomplish? You know, what's your style of hunting? What are you trying to do? Because you might not even be on the right product.
Yeah.
You know, you might have thought, you wrote, read something, and you think, well, that sounds cool, and then you start digging into it, and you're like, no, that's not really what I want. You know, I want it to send me video to my phone, and well, that one, this particular camera and system you're looking at doesn't do that. You know, if you would have bought it, you would have spent thousands of dollars, got home, and then you've been kind of upset because it doesn't do what you thought it should do. And fit your situation too. So yeah, 100%, you know, and I was, you know, obviously I still consume things, right? I still go to the big box stores that, or just other spots online too. If I can find it local, I'll buy it there, you know, from someone like myself, whether that be online or in person. But, you know, I'm still consuming other products. And it was always frustrating for me before, is you maybe do some research online, you know, before a lot of these Facebook groups and different things where you can do a lot of, you know, even YouTube videos, before then you kind of saw some things and did some research, but it wasn't maybe quite as in depth as you can get today.
Right.
And then you go to the store and you say, well, I'm going to go to the store instead of just buying it online, sight unseen. I'm going to go there and look at a couple of them and ask some questions. And yeah, it was always frustrating. You get there and you walk around the store for a while trying to find somebody to answer your question. And then once you do find somebody, you ask them a question, and they like don't really know. They just pick up the box without reading you the specs. It's like
yeah, you know, they give you kind of the really deer in the headlights look.
I knew more than this guy does. It's like, you know, so it was just frustrating, right? It wasn't, you know, like you said, it could be an 18-year-old kid. It could be somebody that just, you know, started working last week. So do you expect them to know and have used all the products? No. And some people don't care. So you get a lot of everything, right? When you're around the big stores. But it was just frustrating. Like, came for clarity and you realize you knew more than the guy, you know, the person that you asked questions from. So that's the big thing when I do other business is help people pick the right stuff.
It
fits what they're trying to do. Because it's just so different. People hunt differently. People live in different areas. You know, you talk to a guy in Iowa, he might run strobe flash, you know, white flash cameras and take pictures of 180-inch deer, 200-inch deer. They don't care. They don't avoid the camera. They don't do anything. I talked to another guy from Michigan. He's like, anything but no glow, and they're going to run out of my woods, you know. They're just going to blow them out the other side because the pressure is so much different. And so just don't – that buck could be a 120-inch deer, but he's not going to put up with it because there's so much different pressure.
Yeah.
And so as I've learned that too. It's like, man, talking to different people, like certain areas, certain deer, even down to individual deer, it's different. So it's just important to ask those questions when talking to people, and that's kind of what we try to do. Give people as much information as we can on all the products, and then if they have more questions, you know, reach out to us. We'd be more than happy to help. And probably get talking BSing about deer hunting.
Yeah. So with products, what all are you guys offering there at U Outdoors?
So a big part of our business is trail cams. That's kind of why, probably that's why I was mentioning it here quite a bit. We sell a lot of Cuddy Back stuff, Cuddy Link in particular. It's kind of been a big thing since we started carrying it 3 years ago. We sell some back cam reveals. So a lot of cell cams. Cell cameras are just kind of taking over everything.
Yeah.
Market wise, I think there's still a place for regular trail cams. I think I hunt a lot of public land too, so I definitely use regular cameras yet. Cell plant costs, they add up. So I think you mix and match, and you're going to be able to cover the ground you need to and get the intel you need to, and remain within your budget. But you know, we sell those things, Cuddy Back, Tacticam stuff, Tacticam action cameras. We sell some food plot seed, mobile hunting gear. So we've got some tree saddles. We've got a mobile tree stand from a few different companies, climbing sticks. I'm really into the mobile game myself. I know it's not for everybody. And again, it kind of goes down to your style of hunting, your age, and what you're trying to do.
Right.
But I do feel that's probably one of the biggest differences in my hunting has been being more mobile. I don't even have really preset stands anymore. I just kind of hunt kind of instinctively, I'd say. You're just starting to read the land and you just get a feel where those deer, you know, bedding, feeding, where you need to be based on the wind instead of going to where you have something placed. I think that makes a huge difference. Moving 20 feet, moving, you know, a few trees over can make the difference too. So,
oh yeah,
I think it's just been huge. You go to the same area, but man, you just change it a little bit, rather than just grabbing the same stand you have. And, there too, you get done with work or something, right? You get a regular job and you get done, you got to run out to the woods quick after work. And if you got preset stands, it entices you to just go jump in that one, right? And rather than being in the spot, you're in a spot.
Yeah, big difference.
And it makes a big difference. I've done that myself when I was farming. It's like, run out after George, jump in that stand that we have hung, and I should have been over there, you know, and I wanted to be, but I didn't have anything set. That was the frustration. I missed so many opportunities because of that. Another product we carry is camo too. So I'm a big ASAT guy. I really like the pattern. I know a lot of companies, a lot of 2% conservation businesses that used to use that pattern in the past too. So it's I just love it. I just believe in it. So that's all I'll say about that.
If it's worked for you, then yeah, there's no reason to change it up. So how are you deciding which products it is that you want to carry? I mean, because you know, from, like mobile hunting, from the tree stand side of things to, you know, some camo to trail cameras. I mean, you kind of have everything, you know, short of, you know, a firearm or a bow to really get a person going into the outdoors. So how do you kind of decide, you know, what you're going to carry or, you know, what you're looking to possibly bring in the future as well?
Biggest thing is that it makes a difference. From either my personal experience or I don't want to say the concept, but like if we take trail cameras, for instance, we could take Cuddy Link, we could take, you know, Tacticam, we could take any cellular camera. It makes a huge impact because you're not going in there and having to check cards. I think everybody wants to check cards. Like, it's fun checking trail cams.
It really is.
I used to trap too. So I used to trap, and it was always fun, anticipation of checking those traps every day. Every day after get after school, and I'd go out and check my traps that I got anything in them. And so trail cams are the same thing, right? It's camera traps. But it's very hard. It's very hard for people, and I've been in this boat, to not go do that. Maybe give it a few days, but man, it's just go see what happens. And it makes such a big negative impact on your hunting that once you quit doing it, you could quit running cameras, but then you don't know what's going on, but it'll improve your hunting.
Yeah.
I almost guarantee it. In fact, I did it one year. I gave up. I didn't put cameras out. Hunting, it was great. It was probably one of the best years of hunting I had in years in that particular woods. And so then when you learn about something like, you know, link system, Cuddy Link system, then you got cell cams, those things make a big impact. So it's really about impact. What can it do? And that's how it's going to, you know, allow me to, like, oh, if I recommend this to somebody, if I carry this in a shop and they start using this over the way they were doing it, it's probably going to make a positive impact, which should lead to more success. And whatever that means to you, right? As far as success in your own definition. But that's really what I look at. So it's, you know, like the camo stuff too. I just said I believed in it. You know, I almost gave up on camo too for a while because I wore the normal stuff, the mossy oak, the real tree, just the stuff you get, the normal patterns that were available in most stores. And, man, I was getting picked out, and I was just, like, in the market for new camo. I think, you know, you're growing up at that time. You're growing out of clothes. So we had to buy some new clothes. Well, I wasn't too impressed with how everything else was working. So I was just going to get some solid colors and call it a day. Like, you know, whatever. Doesn't make a difference. Started doing a bunch of research on it. Noticed that a lot of guys that were traditional archers were wearing this ASAP stuff. I'm like, oh, it kind of looks weird. You know, it doesn't look like normal, pretty pattern, you know. But, man, these guys are, you know, you have to use a longbow or a recurve, a lot of these guys are hunting off the ground, and they're getting, you got to get close.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, man, if these guys are using it and they're swearing by it, yeah, I'll give it a shot before I throw in the towel. So I picked up like a leafy suit that we sell them. Yeah, too. They're pretty popular, but they just go over your other clothes. And I'm like, well, try this. It's not going to cost me too much. We'll give it a shot. And I don't know, wore that for four years, I think, before I started selling it. And it was just, for me, it was night and day difference. Like I couldn't, I mean, I literally get away with murder. I think it's this combination. So, and then the same thing's kind of with mobile stuff. The impact. When I think it can make an impact in people's hunting, it really is kind of the metric for me wanting to sell it. You know, of course, it's got to be something that's profitable, something I can get, all that stuff from a business perspective. But I don't want to sell junk. You know, I don't want to sell a thing that
that's just another thing to sell, yeah.
Yeah, it's just another thing. It's like, I'm a pretty straight shooter as far as, like, my, you know, even though I sell gear, maybe I shouldn't even say this, right? But my gear list gets shorter and shorter. The things I carry get short, they get smaller and smaller. I don't take as much, and I've been doing better. You know, I've been having more success. The more I've fine-tuned what I take out there and just get more of the things that are impactful for me. So that's what I try to, to get my customers to. That's what I want to bring in the store. And the same goes with information too. You know, we don't really sell any info or products or anything yet, but I mean, the internet's full of stuff. There's some great stuff, but there's also some not so great stuff, I feel, that's misleading, and people get confused. Even though it might be popular, it just seems, you know, it's just from my own experience, it doesn't seem right. So that's another area we, again, just trying to get good products out there and good information out there that people can take that's solid, you know, nothing crazy. Pretty simple stuff, but it's going to make a difference, for you when you're out in the woods.
Yeah, well, that's one of the things I liked about, you know, what you say, what's one of the things I like that you said, you know, early on about, you know, what you really wanted to do with You Outdoors was just to help people, right? And you know, help them become successful. And, you know, that is different for every person, like you said. But I feel like taking that approach to your product line that you're offering, while it may not, you may not have this, you know, huge slew of different, you know, gadgets and gizmos that people take or people are, you know, convinced into buying that they need when they're in a tree stand, and, you know, talking from, you know, speaking to customers from your own experience, this, you know, the products that we offer are things that can be game changers in the way that you hunt, regardless of the style. You know, we have things that can help you, you know, kind of lessen your footprint in there, help you be more efficient, you know, just be, you know, quicker, you know, getting in and out. I mean, the list goes on and on, right? So that's, you know, having the customer in mind kind of first and foremost with, is this going to benefit them in some way, shape, or form? Yes. Okay, great. Like that's the first, it sounds like that's the first box that you check. Once you've established that, then it's obviously more the behind the scenes stuff. Is it profitable? Can I get it in the store? And, you know, can I keep it on hand and things like that. But that's a great way to, you know, to I think really kind of run the business is having that customer front of mind and their best interest in mind when offering them, you know, various products.
Right. I mean, yeah, absolutely. I bought a lot of stuff, you know, I think everybody has, right? You get a pile of stuff that you bought that, you know, was advertised and all that stuff to work. And one thing, I guess it would, you know, I don't want to step anyone's toes because everybody's got different experiences and different things. But, and if you believe it works, it's going to give you more confidence, and confidence is a good thing too. So if I talk negatively about something you like, just, you know, if it helps you, even from a mental standpoint, think that you got the upper hand, by all means, go and use it. But like for our store, one thing you don't see in there is like scent control stuff. I would make a lot more money selling you some sprays and stuff, but I would rather just show you how to play the wind because enter your stand a little bit different. Think about how you're hunting a little bit differently, and, you know, use some of the other stuff we have, the mobile stuff, just to get where you need to go, and know that, and with the using the wind the way it should be, where it needs to be, I should say, understanding how a deer would use that wind, it's going to make you more successful than spraying some stuff on there and, you know, a bunch of other stuff to try to eliminate your scent or suppress it. So I have a tough time selling stuff like that, just personally, even though I surely can make more money doing it.
Yeah.
So
do you have a storefront there in Iowa?
I don't. Currently, it's just online, and that's kind of a transition I made to from when I started to when I started with blinds and stuff. Those are big products, and it's in person. That's what it was. It wasn't really online at all. But when I shifted to Iowa, I had to drop the blinds. I decided, I'm like, we're going to go online. We're going to have things that are shippable so that, you know, we can reach people across the country versus just in our own little backyard here.
Right.
So that's kind of the direction we went with that for those reasons.
Yeah, and I mean, a storefront, I mean, I think, you know, there's certainly something to say about, you know, brick and mortar locations because, like we talked about in the beginning, right? Like having that actual personal interaction, being able to see things, put your hands on products, touch them, feel them, all that good stuff. All the things that kind of give you the warm and fuzzies, right, before you make a purchase on something. But yeah, it's tough, right? I mean, especially, you know, over the last 2 years, if we've learned anything, it's that, you know, having a small business can be extremely difficult, especially when you can't get customers in your store. But the online route, yeah, is certainly, it allows you to be a bit more flexible in what you can offer and, you know, what you decide to carry. You don't necessarily have a showroom to fill with things. You know, you probably have a spare bedroom or a garage or a basement filled with products, but that's much easier to manage, and the overhead is certainly much lower than a rentable building.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, someday maybe like to have something like that, of course. It would be nice, and that's the plan. But yeah, I mean, I chose a great time to get started full time and all this stuff, you know. Right, 2020, and 2 months in, we get COVID, and it's like, well, it's been a crazy 2 years.
Yeah.
Just trying to get product and just what can you do and not do. So it did help me. I'm thankful I did not have a storefront at that time.
Yeah.
Because that would have just been a killer. And you got to feel for those small businesses that especially ones that rely purely on that. You know, like small towns where I'm at in Northeast Iowa, it's like, man, they got to be, it's tough.
Yeah. So when you're bringing new stuff in, I mean, how long will you, I guess, use a product before you kind of, you know, make your own recommendation, or you kind of come to the conclusion that, yeah, this is something that I think could really help, you know, customers of mine that could really be beneficial? I mean, is that like, you know, you'll try something new, you use it for a year, you know, have a ton of notes, ton of, you know, good experiences or lessons learned from or anything like that, and then you say, okay, this is something I would like to try to sell as well? Or is it, you know, a longer process than that?
We try to make it a shorter process if we can. The biggest thing is, you know, concept, right? So if we just looked at like Cutylink, for instance, concept of connecting these cameras in a network and having everything sent to one central unit or one central cell unit, having it sent to your phone. So something like that, you look at it like, oh man, you know, when I was approached with something like that, I thought, man, if that works like it says it does, that'd be awesome. You know, it's like, that would change the game for me. Because at that time I'd almost quit running trail cameras. So like a shock without going in there, that would allow me to put cameras out again, because I'd like to do that. So then concept is great. Well, let's buy some, and typically I'll buy them, you know, I'll buy them retail. I'll just go buy it and test it, put together. Does this thing work? Does it work like it says it does? And I'll put them out. Now, like cameras, I'll put out in the woods, you know, for a few months and start getting some pictures. How is everything working? Is there problems? Do I have to, you know, does it work as advertised? Put it that way.
Yeah.
Longevity on any product is hard, because, you know, testing that, right? You'd love to sit there and test it for a year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, but you just don't have that much time.
Right.
You know, companies change products, they change designs almost yearly. You know, companies will change designs on things. And so it's hard to get a real, you know, good good look at that, unfortunately, in terms of, you know, especially things like electronics, they change so fast.
Yeah, a year later, but, it's outdated.
Yeah. You bought a camera, and then you're like, man, 3, 4, 5 years later, like, that was my best camera ever. I want to buy another one. I mean, they've been replaced and obsolete for 3 years already.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of the downside. I wish they kind of would stick with the same design for a while. And everybody wants innovation, but it's nice when you get a good one to keep it. So yeah, I like to try it out for a while. Yeah, it could be a few months, could be a year. I typically like, I mean, I want to beat it up a bit. So take it out there and just run it through the paces like I would in the woods. Before I bring it out there, and that's basically it. I mean, that's,
yeah,
it's the concept. Does what it says, you know, does what it says it's going to do, is that going to make a difference first? The answer is yes. Then we check in the pricing. If it makes some sense, like, okay, yeah, we could sell this and make a little money on it. We'll bring it in and see if it's worth, you know, doing. It's not just, like you said, not just junk that people are going to call back and not be happy with.
Yeah.
So.
No, that's certainly, yeah, it's got to be a bit of a slippery slope or a real kind of fine line to walk on in terms of, you know, what's too long, what's not long enough, when do you feel confident, you know, giving it, you know, kind of your stamp of approval that, yeah, this does what it says it does. Because, you know, even though, like, with a Cuddy Link or system or something like that, like, while it's not your particular, you know, item, I guess, if someone bought it from you, they're going to expect that, you know, honoring the warranty or helping getting it fixed. And, you know, a lot of times people are just going to go right to the source where they bought it instead of maybe necessarily the manufacturer.
Right. And that's something we pride ourselves in. We know the product. So you got a problem, and we'll speak to Cuddy Link because we've been dealing with that so much, and it's a more involved system than some other things. You know, guys all the time shoot me a message, email, call, whatever. They got this error code comes up. I know most of the error codes off the top of my head. So it's like, I tell them, do this. Done. Like, it's fixed. Versus having to call a company. And it doesn't matter what company you call. We all know everybody's customer service could be better. Right? Yeah. This is, you're going to have to go through. They're dealing with, you know, company sold, I don't know how many, you know, hundreds of thousands of units. And so they get a lot more calls, or millions of units. They're getting a huge influx of calls. And, you know, the people answering the phones aren't necessarily users. They have a sheet, you know, that they try to work through and help troubleshoot things, but they aren't necessarily users of the product. So they give you kind of the general recommendations and things like that, but they can't really, might not be able to figure it out maybe as quickly or as clearly as someone like, you know, us who use the product and have set, you know, thousands of the things up.
Yeah.
Personally, so.
So in your experience, you know, through, you know, working with all of these, you know, different, you know, using all these different products that you're selling, you know, likely developing relationships with a lot of these manufacturers, just if you're, you know, selling their products, have you ever considered trying to come up with something of your own, whether it's a trail camera, it's a, you know, some type of, some piece of gear for, you know, mobile hunting setup, or anything like that? Have you, you know, kind of crossed that bridge yet and started to, you know, do some napkin sketches or brainstorm some ideas? Or is that something that you don't even want to deal with?
Oh man, I've got a million ideas. My problem is not that I don't have a lack of ideas. I mean, for everything. We're talking gear and business and marketing and all these things. I've got a million ideas. The issue is having and being able to execute all the ideas. And
right.
Unfortunately, I got to say no to, I need to learn to say no to more things even than I have. Because it's like, well, I want to do everything. That's just the way I am. But yeah, I am testing out a few cameras right now that we would have branded for our own brand on them. They're regular cameras. They're not cellular. I didn't really want to get into the whole cellular thing. It's a little over my head. Yeah. I'll let everybody else do that for now. You know, if we bring out a camera and it works great, everybody loves it and wants cellular, then we can dig into that more. But that camera, granted, it performs. So that's another thing. I've been testing that one for a couple months now. I've got a couple cameras up on my grandparents' place in northern Wisconsin. Cold. He's got deer on the property. It's a good opportunity. We're trying to see how many pictures we get out of a set of, you know, railback batteries, you know, cheap batteries. Like, what are we going to get for battery life? What are we going to get for, what's the picture quality look like? Is this thing, you know, if I get up there and they're not working, well, I'm not going to go bring it in. You know, it's just not, I'm not going to sell that stuff. So, but we're looking at like a lower price, mid-price camera, something you can throw on public land, something you can scatter in between your cell cameras to cover more ground. So we are looking at that. There's a few different adapters, mounts and stuff for cameras that I've that I have ideas for, I have sketches for. I have talked to some local shops about having them made. Just something that's been on the back burner a little bit lately. But yeah, I got a million ideas. I wish I could manufacture everything, but I just, like, I want to so badly, but I gotta, like, hold myself back. Like, man, that's a whole nother ball of wax you gotta get into. And
oh yeah,
I don't know.
So I want to pivot a little bit here and get into the conservation side of things. So, when was it, I guess, that you first learned about 2% for conservation?
I think it was through Dan. And I don't remember if it was through his podcast or, you know, I don't know if he had mentioned it any time when he was in Wired to Hunt or if that was when he started on Nine Fingers. But pretty sure it was through him. And he's mentioned this stuff. I'm like, well, what is this? Because I have always been interested in conservation. I grew up hunting, right? I grew up fishing, trapping. I love being outdoors. I was farming, you know, all those things could, you know, obviously the hunter, you benefit from the conservation and stuff, but, and a fisherman and stuff like that. But as a, I always thought we could do more as farmers too. And it was something I looked into a lot before I decided that, you know, just, it was an uphill battle, and I just gonna, rather than fight that, I'm gonna go hunting and try my hunting business instead of the farming. But there's just a lot of things we could do for water quality, soil health, and the farming thing. I think we could do a lot better job with. It is a tough deal to get through though, just because, you know, obviously from a farming background, there's not a lot of money in it,
right?
And how do you convince, how do you make it worthwhile for farmers to leave, you know, brushy fence rows in, rather than taking them out and gaining an extra 20 rows of corn, you know, that produce 200 bushel corn instead of, you know, those rows being either not planted or being shaded out. How do you get them to leave valuable farmland in, you know, just different strips of grass and whatnot to hold all kinds of wildlife. It's a hard deal because, you know, farmers made a lot of money. I think it'd be easy. They'd be like, yeah, why not? But when it's tight and land prices are high, it's hard. So it's, I don't know where I'm going with that. I guess I've always been interested in conservation just from a farming perspective. And then of course from hunting, you know, habitat and stuff. I'm driving around looking at one woods, you know, I'm like, man, they should log that out. You know, be better habitat for more animals. They should, I like that. They probably planted a bunch of trees and brush and they got grass mixed in. It's like, man, that's some great habitat, man. I'd like that. And so I just, through the business, I've always wanted to give back. That's part of the business too, is like, I want to do something more than just make money, right? I want to give it back. I want to do something impactful that does make a difference. And so once I learned about it, I'm like, I'll check it out. Looks like a good group of businesses. You know, the mission looked great. I'm like, yeah, let's do it. You know, let's sign up. Let's get certified and let's start giving back.
Yeah, no, that's that's interesting, because I've not talked with anyone that has kind of, they've talked about, it seems like everyone kind of talks about conservation from the hunting and angling side of things, right? Because I mean, that's what, you know, a vast majority of people, you know, that's how they're kind of practicing conservation, or that is kind of their direct involvement with conservation, is through hunting or fishing. But you know, to look at it from, you know, the farming side of things or the agricultural side of things is not, I guess, a perspective that I've really looked at or really even talked about. I mean, I guess the conservation mindset that you have and that you were just kind of talking about, did that come from growing up on the farm, or was that something that was kind of instilled in you, like through parents and grandparents, or is it just kind of like a mixture of everything and it's just been a way of life since you were little?
I think it's just a mixture of everything. You know, I love being outdoors in the woods, and I always like seeing wildlife and stuff. And I don't know. I just was not a fan of, I don't know what it was. Just not a fan of, like, talk about farming again, you know, tillage or, you know, spraying so much. You know, I'd always question that on the farms. Like, why do we do that? I'm kind of that guy, right? I question everything. So I question, I'm like, why do we do it this way? Why do we do it that way? Well, is it really more profitable the way we're doing it in the grand scheme of things? It might be more profitable this year, but in the long term, in 10 years, is it more profitable? So I don't know. I just like to see it, right? I like to see a mix. I don't like to see flat just fields. Yeah. I don't like to see just blocks of timber. I like a mix. And that's kind of what I grew up with, is pretty good mix up there. But I like that diversity. I like to see that. I like the streams. I like it to be clean. I don't want scummy water. You know, I've seen it. It's kind of a unique perspective, I guess. I see it from both sides, and it is difficult, you know, knowing both sides, to convince someone who is a farmer and maybe doesn't have that much interest in hunting, to leave or, you know, create habitat and stuff like that when they could, you know, plant something that can make them money. So it's just been a mix. It's just been a mix. I've always liked the natural stuff. I've always loved just getting out in nature. We you know, up until COVID here, we did, typically we do a you know, week long Canada fishing trip.
Nice.
And, I always loved that. And I just like disconnecting from everything, getting out there. The water's clean. It just,
yeah.
I'm not a big fan of all the houses along the every lake in Wisconsin and stuff. It's just like dotted with, you know,
oh,
things.
Yeah.
I'm like, I just didn't have the, I just like the natural stuff. I like to see that. So,
yeah, and I would imagine
that's probably where the passion came from. It's just, if I know my wife wouldn't do it, but I'm like, I could go live in the woods. Like, I could just go, I could go live out somewhere and disconnect. But,
yeah, and I'd imagine as you get older and you become, you know, more heavily involved in hunting, in angling, you start to see things a bit differently too, in terms of kind of the habitat and, you know, the mixes and, you know, or lack thereof, I guess. And you start to see these pieces of land and how it could, you know, how some, you know, a few small changes could benefit, you know, so many different, you know, species that are, you know, either already living there or are living in close proximity, right? And I think that's,
oh, yeah,
that's like this the a natural evolution of a conservationist, is, you know, starting to see things differently from a different lens as you get older, as you get more mature, as you start to really understand the impact that one little thing can have on, you know, not just deer or turkey or upland birds, but, you know, all of them combined. And I think it's when you start to shift that focus and you start to, again, look at those things differently, that's when you really can start to move the needle in your area or in your, you know, local conservation organization. And that's when you can really start to have a big impact on conservation.
Oh yeah. I mean, I don't want to go forever, but like the farming aspect, there's just so much you could do to improve things. You know, any kind of tillage, you know, monoculture crops, you got corn, beans, you know, the things you see, right? Just straight crops. There's a lot of bare soil out there, and any rain washes that out, and that goes in the water, that goes in the freezing. You got a lot of silt, you know, building up in the streams and lakes and stuff like that. And just by putting in cover crops, you know, if you were to change up your rotations a bit, maybe even, that's the only thing with farming too right now. And I hope I'm not sounding negative about farming, because I love farming and I intend to actually buy another farm and probably start doing it, just because I'm so interested in playing around with it. But most farms today have kind of, you're either a cattle farmer or you're a grain farmer. You don't really mix the two, and reality is they should be always be mixed. Those rotations should be, you know, multi-species, and then, or multi, I guess you could call it species. Yeah. Multi different crops and then grade and rotated with these cash grain crops, rather than just going, you know, corn, bean, you're losing topsoil. Topsoil is going to the water. In order for those crops to even do well in that kind of rotation, you got to use more chemical. You got to use more fertilizer. And then that gets washed in the water. So it gets, and then again, when you take a cornfield off, man, those combines are good today. You're not leaving a lot of grain out there. You're not leaving a lot of beans. You're not leaving a lot of corn left on the ground after they take that off. There's nothing out there for wildlife to really eat anymore.
Yeah.
Versus you had at least some of it, you know, again, you got to make money. Farming is a business, like anything else. You would at least have a portion of your ground into cover crops that are going to probably stay there all winter, and they're going to feed deer, they're going to feed rabbits, all kinds of other wildlife. And as well as build soil and hold back any runoff in spring. So there's a lot of benefits to that stuff. So I think, I don't know how you do it. I wish I had an easy answer as far as, but that would make a big impact on a lot of things.
Yeah.
All that farm ground getting to that. And I'd love to see fence rows again too. I see a lot of them coming out. Which I don't really care for. I'd like to see more of those, because that helps too with erosion and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Wind, water. And you see a big difference too. If you see a fence row, you'll see that soil height of that is quite a bit higher than what everything else is around it. And they didn't build the fence row on a hill. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Right. Oh yeah.
The fence rows weren't humps when they put the fence in. It was, it was all the same level. So, You can see the difference pretty clearly.
Yeah. So what are some of the organizations that U Outdoors is giving back to, or that you're working with?
So 2%, we kind of started last spring. We're not even a year into it yet. So we haven't, you know, gotten to the end of our, you know, kind of our, where we want to actually give the money yet.
Yeah.
Wait until this year. We didn't need to do it this fall, but now in 22, definitely going to do it here. I haven't given it, and that's probably something I should talk to you about more, about different organizations that that would fit with what we really want to do. But I think what we're going to do is give to an existing organization here in early 22 here. But I also have the ambition to start my own nonprofit to give back with the money that we're making.
Yeah.
My idea with that was essentially, at least initially, again, I'm an idea guy, right? I got a million things I'd love to do, but you kind of have to take a bite out of it first. And the first bite, it was going to be taking the money that we donate to our own nonprofit and buying tree and shrub seedlings.
Okay.
And then having both private and public, you know, we definitely would give to both, right? But just having them apply and say, well, what would you do with the trees? And what would you like to do with your project? And then distributing them that way. So that it's going to a lot of places, right? We can help a lot of more people in just one spot. Being that we do business across the country. So I don't want to stick it in Northeast Iowa here, you know, and help the public land here, but then it takes you 3 to 6 years to get a deer tag here to even come hunt any of the ground that we're spending all the money that we're giving away. And
right.
So we want to be able to reach a lot more people. And again, even if you're only getting a small bundle of trees, it's spread out and more people are able to do more projects. So that was kind of the idea on that. And we're going to get moving on that this year. Last year was just, like I said, a mess in terms of everything.
Yeah.
Like getting nonprofits approved, getting, you know, our own life stuff, COVID, everything. So,
yeah. Well, Brandon, one more thing before I let you get out of here. Where can people find You Outdoors website, social media, all that good stuff?
Yeah. So our website is yououtdoors1.com. So that's letter U, word outdoors, and the number 1.com. It's basically going to have all our, obviously, our products and get some blog articles and stuff like that on there. Facebook at You Outdoors. Instagram, I believe, is at You Outdoors as well. Not real active on Instagram, Facebook more so. We do have a Facebook group too. The You Crew is what it's called.
Nice.
And essentially, I mean, we just, I don't know, we've got, I don't know, probably 700 people in there now, but we bounce ideas back. You know, we just kind of, it's just hunters in there throwing things out. Hey, what do you think of this? All this buck got through, you know, survived. Sharing what you're doing, asking questions, and just BSing. You know, it's not a, you know, it's not one of those groups where you come in and, you know, it just, you know, you probably know what I'm talking about.
It's a safe
if
space.
You're listening. It's like,
yeah, right. Like,
yeah.
It's, yeah, I gotcha.
Yeah, it's a safe space. Yeah, and someone comes in there and starts being negative and, you know, being constructive.
Gotta go. Yep.
Yeah, you're gone. I don't have time for that. Nobody wants that. And like I said, Facebook groups are great. But those parts of them are not so great. Unfortunately. But that's what we do there. And looking to continue to add to that because, frankly, I want to see other people succeed. That's, whether they bought anything from me or not, you know, as long as they're positive and they're not putting other people down, whatever they're doing, I just want to see them succeed. That makes me happy seeing that. People getting out and doing stuff outside. I know, you know, being a younger guy, like before, I didn't really think about that, but now that I got two kids, I started taking my 3-year-old daughter out ice fishing in her last couple weeks. And, man, I can see kind of how, like, my dad and grandpa and stuff who brought me up hunting and fishing. I probably didn't notice it when I was a kid, but I've seen them look at, like, other kids and stuff a different way. And now I kind of understand what, you know, that look is, right?
Yeah.
That pride and stuff. Just, I love being out there, taking kids out there. I love seeing that. It makes such a big impact on them and getting them off the screens not in today's world. And it's just so good for them. I enjoy that. I, it taking her out there fishing is just, I don't know. I probably enjoy that more than going out there myself at this point.
Yeah.
Just completely different.
Yeah. No, that's very well put, man. Brandon, thank you so much for your time today, man. I really appreciated it. I really appreciate it. It was nice to talk some gear, talk conservation, and look forward to seeing what you guys come up with down the road.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
All right, Brandon, take care, man.
You too.
All right. Well, thank you again to Brandon for taking some time to sit down with me on the podcast today. I would also like to thank the partners of the podcast, Stone Glacier and Wild Rivers Coffee, as well as 2% for Conservation. Be sure to go out and support the brands that support this company, that support this podcast and help make everything possible. And if you're interested in learning more about 2% for Conservation, you can visit their website, fishandwildlife.org. And over there, you can see all the certified brands that have committed to conservation that you should support when you shop. I also encourage you guys to give 2% a follow on social media, where it's going to be only positive conservation-driven content in your feed. So again, if you'd like to learn more about 2% for Conservation, you can look for them online on social media or at fishandwildlife.org. Thanks for joining me this week, everyone. Hope you enjoyed the episode. Remember to check out theaverageconservationist.com, where you can stay up to date on all the latest episodes of the podcast and also pick up some sweet merchandise to help support conservation as well. So until next week, stay safe out there, and remember that conservation starts with you.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.